I didn't know what that meeting was. All right, we're in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. Good morning, good morning. Good to be back. Thank you for being here. And thanks, Seth, for being here last week and bringing the body God's word. It was a very comforting feeling to just know that the body was going to be well fed last week. And if you were paying attention, well, that was a feeding. That was definitely bringing us God's word. We were blessed out there. Pat and I were celebrating our 55th wedding anniversary. And yeah. She hasn't thrown me to the curb yet, so I'm thinking, okay, I might have made it. You
know?
And she flushed her wedding ring down the toilet.
By accident.
Anyhow. So if anybody asks me, is there anything I can help you with, Doug? See me afterwards. We're in Hebrews 10. Again, thank you for what you brought to the body. I'll try not to repeat any of that, but, you know, hearing God's word, it's almost like those of us who have children, and I've said this over the years, how many times have we, and we probably can't count them, but how many times have we told our children, are you listening to me? What did I just say? Oh, I can imagine. Let's pray for you right now. But Hebrews, ever since we started in here, there's been something different over all these years that I feel the Lord is trying to impress, not only on my heart, but I hope the rest of us, about what we really have in Him and how, you know, the author of Hebrews has been trying to show how far superior Christ is to anything in any religion and everything else, but he's also trying to show us our responsibility once we say that we believe. And sometimes we lose track of that. And I think, at least for me, the Father has been, haven't I told you this? How many times have I said this? Not in a negative or a way, but in a way just to kind of wake me up a little bit. Get me to open my eyes up again and just to see what I really should be at this point in time in my life. And I feel that's what we're going to see here in Hebrews 10. And I'm going to pick up in verse, probably 22 or so. I asked Seth, you know, I didn't ask him not to preach it, but I said, you know, God's been working on my heart on this, and I just feel I've got to get it out there. And see what he can do in my life for the time that we have left. Who knows how much time we have left? I've joked around with Doc Mike at times saying, hey, would you write me a letter that guarantees I got 5 years in my life? And he won't do it. He's a good doctor. He's also a smart doctor. None of us know what we have. So the little time that we have left, what do we want? What do we want to do with this time and the enablement of being able to do it? And that's why we join together. That's why Paul, I keep saying Paul, and I don't want to say it, that's who I believe wrote Hebrews. Paul is trying to ingrain this into those hearts and minds of people who were ready to give up. They were ready to give in because of men. Nobody else left, so I wasn't real worried. Just... He's trying to ingrain in each and every one of them, don't give up. Look at what we have and how much Christ has done for us, in us, with us, what he still has. He's trying to show that. And our respect, that's the sovereignty of God, that only he can do these things that we've been reading. But then in 10, he gives us a small little glimpse of human responsibility. Now that I say I'm him, I'm not his, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with our whole being is what the word tells us. My part is so simple, is what I've been looking at. So we'll pick up in 21 maybe. And just see how God moves on your heart through these scriptures. And I'll be using more scriptures than I normally do, or I don't know if that's true, but I want you to remember when you go home, and if you take notes, just jot down the verses and sit with the Lord this week. And it's not so much what Doug is saying or Doug's opinion of this or interpretation. What is the Lord telling us? Because I feel that he speaks in one voice. He didn't tell a whole bunch of different things to us. And if we're really listening to him, I feel that we're going to see this message very clear in our lives, and it's going to help us. It's not to hinder us. So we're in Hebrews 10. And I hope by the end of the day and when we go home and study this on our own, that that answer, I feel each and every one of us probably has said more than once, what does God expect from me? Has anybody ever said, God, what do you want? God, what's my purpose? God, what do you expect from me? It depends on how you say that. But so it's all the same question of the humanness that we live in, asking our God, what is it that you want from me? And he's been showing me it's so simple. He's not saying, Doug, I want you to walk on your hands and knees and then climb up a telephone pole and stand on your head. And then after you're done with that, I want you to go on the mission field for 5 years. And when you're done with, you know, we have these thoughts that God just wants so much out of us. He just wants simple love and devotion and thanksgiving for what he's done for each and every one of us. That is so simple. And in this little section, we'll see how simple it is. He could have gone on and on and told us we have to do all this stuff now, that we have this great high priest who's covering us. And that's where 21 starts. And having a high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus Christ. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful at promised. And let us consider one another. You know, and I like that word consider because he's been using that since the very beginning of Hebrews, if you've been watching. He's telling us, consider Jesus Christ. Consider Jesus Christ. He's going to say it again in chapter 12. We're supposed to consider him. But here he says, let us consider one another. And that consider isn't just a light thought. It means let's think about each other. Let's think about why we're in the body of Christ together. What is it that you need, that I need, that we're considering one another to provoke unto love and good works. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't give up. And not, I've said this before, when somebody is pouring their heart out, the Christian body needs to stop saying, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, gee, I had a bum shoulder. Oh, I had a bad, you know, stop. The person that's speaking to us is asking us to listen, to somehow just have some empathy, to maybe just stop and pray and ask God at that point what to do. That's how we provoke one another, not, oh, stop your whining. We're great at that, aren't we? But it's consider one another. Move, if we could, you know, move the person into a position of love and good works to keep on going. And here's where I wanted to focus, because we're going to have what does God want from me and everything else. Those of you who have children, you've heard the question over and over, why, right? Go clean your room. Why? It's not good enough that you say it's a mess, so you can't even walk through. Why do I have to do that? Well, as a Christian, we should still, why is he saying? Let's draw near. This is faith, hope, and love. These are the things that are going to remain, as the Word of God tells us, faith, hope, and love. Now, these three things remain, but the greatest of these is love, our love for God and our love for one another. And I want to focus, if we can, today on 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, Father God, still our hearts. Quiet our minds. There's so much that has gone on this week, so many problems, voices that just scream and vie for that place that belongs to you. Help us to hear you today, Lord. Help us to take this home and just sit with you. Get bathed, Father, in your word, the promises, and what you might have for us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if we look at verse 25 alone, you know what I want to do? No, I won't. Yeah, I'll do that. Jump over, and Seth, you did this, but when we look at that, the reason why, right? Why should I do all this stuff? Why should I not forsake the assembling of the saints as the manner of some is? Why should I exhort somebody else? What, you know, what's this? 35 says, cast not therefore your confidence away, which has great recompense of reward. Why should we do this? Because there's a reward coming or a loss of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Circle that, underline it, whatever else. We say a prayer and we want God to just step onto the stage immediately and take care of everything. If we look at that, it's everything the Bible ever tells us, that first we need patience in everything. I mean, patience at your job, patience with your children, patience with a spouse, patience in church at times and figuring out, is Doug ever going to end? You know, there's patience that has to happen. And then there's endurance. Okay, so I was patient, but that's it. No, endurance now. And endurance could be 5 minutes, it could be 5 years. Who knows? And we give up in the middle. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't give up. If we can hear him screaming that. And then what happens? Then comes the promise. We want that promise like right now. It's not going to happen that way every time. Why is that again? For 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. God is not tarrying. He's not hanging out waiting, oh, gee, I don't know, son, when you should. God is not tarrying. He's coming back. God knows exactly when he's going to send Jesus Christ for his church. And he is coming back. Please focus on that this week. Now, the just shall live by faith, but any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Unbelievers, people who just throw away the atonement of Jesus Christ for sins. But Seth, again, you mentioned it, but we're not of them. Do you hear that? If you're a Christian, you might feel guilty, you might feel condemned, you might feel convicted, whatever. Those things that assail us all week long because we know we fall short. But God is saying, you're not of that. You're still trying. You're under my blood covering. Nothing's going to touch you. No man's going to pull you from. Do we really, really believe this? Can we walk in this now in this new year that we're in? But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I find myself lately feeling like the cowardly lion in The Wizard of Oz. Oh, I do believe, I do. You know, because my flesh just makes me go this way one time and one time this way. And then it's like, Doug, do you believe? I do believe. You know, we've got a Savior that's beyond any comprehension of you and I, and he asks so very little. So we see two commands here, two commands that I saw. Don't forsake the fellowship, right? And then exhort and encourage each other even more. And if you underline that one, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more. Even more than we are. Oh, I'm doing that. No, do it even more is what God is saying. So two commands, don't forsake the fellowship. Exhort and encourage each other more and more. So the child's question to the parent, why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back as we see the day approaching. And I have to ask, you know, do I see the day approaching? Do I really see it? And not only see it, you know, a lot of things that my dad used to say, believe nothing that you see and half of what you hear, you know. Do we really believe that the day is approaching? God tells us that he is coming again for his church, whether that be natural, passing, the rapture, or the second coming, which will hit. Do I really believe that? And as the Spirit of God is saying, do I see this day approaching? Do I spend time dwelling on that? Or do I see the day of my party coming up or my trip to wherever it might be or my new vehicle? Or I focus on that. But I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying, open your eyes. Start watching around us. Not what Doug is saying or any other church you might go to. What is the Word of God saying about this day that's approaching? So I wanted to break that down. Do we see it coming? So what he's saying here is not forsaking, and underline that. What do you have in your translation for forsaking?
Give up.
Yeah, okay. So that's very important. So most people, oh, here he goes. Don't miss church. Don't miss church. That's not what this word says. It says don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It doesn't say don't miss church. There's reasons to miss church. You might have to work on a Sunday, and that's okay. If God has provided work and it has to be on a Sunday, then that's what we do. That's what we do as good servants of the Lord. He didn't say, if you got a cold, right? That's not forsaking. That's missing church for a good, I don't want your cold. You want mine? No. So it's work, it's sickness. There's reasons that we can miss church, but what he's saying is don't forsake it. Don't fall into the habit, as the manner of some is, because the missing of the structure together of all of us becomes a habit if it happens time after time after time. And that's what these Jews were ready to do. That's what these early believers, these converts, they were ready to forsake it. Not miss it every now and then, but just forsake it and go to something else. I beg us all with that to really think about not forsaking. Don't, you know, to go hiking or snowboard. We need to be together more and more in the days that are coming than we ever thought possible before, so that we can get each other's gifts in action, so that we can encourage one another to get out there and go beyond the buffet table here, and let's work this off so we can come back in and eat again. We've got to encourage. We'll get to that. But that assembling of ourselves together. So, yeah, is it a mandate? Is it a command about church? I don't believe it only covers church. We shouldn't miss church. We shouldn't. That's how God just keeps on growing us. But could the assembling of the saints be a Tuesday choir? I think that could happen. Could it be a Bible study? I think that could happen. Could it be over at your house, maybe, with two or three other Christians coming over for a cup of coffee and moving some firewood? And I think it covers all of that. And what the Spirit of God is saying is, be careful. You can miss some things, but don't forsake them intentionally. I don't want to come to church that Sunday because it's a Super Bowl. That's forsaking. Just a game. And Christians all over will not show up on that day because they don't know how to run the VHS or whatever to tape. Do you tape anymore? You don't, right? No. Okay, I'm just getting on a personal stump there. Don't miss it. Don't miss it on purpose. When there's an excuse, let's go. Why? 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 You know what happens in church? Fellowship. Uh-oh, fellowship. Oh, but, you know, we were there. We need fellowship every single day to continue to walk this walk that we're trying our best to do. And that's where the encouragement comes. So put something in there, fellowship. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And I started thinking about fellowship. You know, in 1 John, it talks about, you know, our fellowship is with Jesus Christ. And that's true. We get together and we talk about everything. Get me started on a 56 Chevy Nomad. Or get Danny on a, you know, a big cat loader, you know, something. We can talk for hours, can't we? Hours. And be so exuberant and excited and whatnot. But fellowship. I think all of that is okay. I want to watch Danny run that big loader, you know? I don't want to sit in it anymore myself. But that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Music, you know, we share music, you and I, sometimes. And as long as we bring that fellowship back to Jesus Christ in our lives, somehow, some way, before we walk away from each other and all we've talked about is our new car, our pair of shoes, or whatever, I feel that the Spirit of God is trying to tell us fellowship is so critical right now. What did it look like then? So they were saved in verse 41. Remember, there was about 3,000 souls that were saved that day because of the preaching of the word and the movement of the spirit. 42 says, and they, that's us, that's our believers. That's the fellowship that we should be in. That's coming to church or coming to join with other Christians. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's why we come to church, to hear the word, not opinions. We should be hearing God's word. We should be feeding on this and then going home and bringing home the leftovers. Most of us won't leave the restaurant without our five fries and a little bite of sandwich left, you know? It's the apostles' doctrine. We need to be in this. I'll leave it. I saw it. So they continued in the apostle doctrine, God's word. Fellowship, the breaking of bread, and that's more than just, you know, the Lord's table. It's eating with one another. It is having communion maybe at someone's house when we get together. It just keeps promoting the Spirit of God within us. You can feel that. And in prayer. And then look, and you know, you can keep on reading. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I wonder why we're not seeing a whole lot of signs and wonders. Has God stopped? No. I think maybe I'm not doing my part to the extent like I should do, and fellowshipping and encouraging and doing what I should do. And then when I do what I do, God is just right there doing exactly what he has planned. It's not like, oh, now I'm going to give you something special. We do what we're supposed to do, and God is able to continue to move in a fellowship inside the body, the sufferings, the heartaches, the things that we go through. Then we can take it outside these doors. And fear came upon every soul. Awesome, reverent respect for God. Signs and wonders, and all that believed were together, and they had all things in common. Not the fly rod, right, Tommy? No, we kid around. We have certain things that we'll give to each other, part with it. These guys in their fellowship, in their assembling together, they didn't think there was anything wrong with whatever we have, we're going to give you, even because we need those things. We see another Christian. What's the purpose? You know, what's the purpose of not forsaking, not giving up on that? What's the purpose of encouraging? We are to be one body, one flesh. That's the body of Christ. In a church, there is a lot of suffering, just like there was at this time. But a lot of times we allow that suffering to kind of avoid us because we've got our own troubles. And I feel that the Lord is saying, I'm coming back soon. I want to see you guys loving each other like we've never done before, possibly. If we have been doing it, keep it up. Increase it, because our time is very short. And I feel that, you know, this church, what we're missing, not this church, the Western church, we're missing that aspect about each other's sufferings. It's easy to come to church on a Sunday and share the joys, isn't it? All the great things that happened. But we don't share each other's sufferings much anymore. We don't anguish, if you would, with another who's going through some terrible, terrible time, whatever it might be. This one's off the cuff. Philippians, you don't have to turn there. I can do all things through Christ. We all know this one, and I'm not saying it flippantly. You know, chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then we try that, right? And sometimes we just can't do it. We can't keep moving. But I think what we leave out in our churches today is verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with me in my afflictions. What the Spirit is showing us is that we don't only share the Sunday joys with each other. We have to share the sufferings. Paul said, I could do this. But you helped me out. You came to me in my affliction. You came to me and prayed with me. Wow. Is that what the church is really doing today? I don't know. Sometimes, but I feel God is saying do it more and more. Exhorting and encouraging, turn to Romans 3. I better start wrapping up. Romans 13, excuse me. I said I was going to be. Why? Again, why? Why? You know, I'm fellowshipping. Okay, why should I encourage you not to, not come to church anymore? Why should I encourage you to do this or that? Because Christ is coming back. And Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, do we remember I said, you know, as you see the day approaching, do you see the day approaching? Do you believe that? God's coming back one way or the other. We're not getting out of here any different. We're all going to pass it. And it's either natural, like I said, the rapture, or his second coming and church is gone. But it says that knowing the time. And I looked at that and I'm thinking, Doug, do you really know it? Do you know what time this is? It's later than we think. That now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. I got saved in the end of 79, let's say. So what are we looking at? Going on 45 years, 40 some odd years, somewhere in there. My salvation is so much closer today as I stand here than it was when I bowed my knee and asked God to be my Savior. And somehow, some way, 48 years have whizzed by. How much more time have we really got? And he's trying to wake us up. You need the fellowship. You need to encourage one another. Don't give up. The reason is that the day is approaching. And I can't say this enough because I know people, you know, and even in the, sometimes we think, well, he might not come back in my lifetime. No, he might not. What if he does? What if he does? Just a thoughtful question. What would your answer be when he said, well, hadn't I told you? Didn't I tell you? Didn't I show you? Well, I didn't think you were coming back. I didn't think you meant what you were saying. I want us to really consider what Christ is saying and not Doug. We need each other. We need the church. We need fellowship. We need to encourage. We need to share in each other's heartaches and our hopefulness and whatever else. We need to share that like it was happening to us. And I know that can start to happen. Not only here, it happens here, unbelievable, when I watch the outreaches to each other here. But I feel it's got to go beyond Calvary Chapel of Nederland. Okay, that's where we come in fellowship. Once we step out the door, you're heading to Boulder, Rollinsville, who knows where else, you know, wherever it might be. This, we need to just carry it with us for the short time that we still have. The reason why? He's coming back. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The day. Remember when we started, and I might pull it to an end and continue this at another point instead of rushing, but do you see the day approaching, Doug, is what I really, you know, I hear things. Some of you probably put yourself in that same category. Was that me? Was that God? Well, if you can't figure out if it was you or God saying, do you see the day approaching? Then get to God's word and see how many times he's asking, and then say, okay. Do I see it? Do I really believe it? Why? Why should I fellowship more? Not forsake it? Miss it? That's okay. Why should I encourage somebody? Why should I exhort people to get into the Word of God? Let's go to the Word of God. Let's pray about this right now. Why should I do that? Is because that day is approaching, as it was here, as he writes to Timothy, the signs are increasing. And I wanted to preface it with that because I've seen this so abused with a simple statement that they've been saying that forever. They were saying that back in Paul's time. Well, when he asks, do you see the day approaching? I'd ask this week then, TV, papers, computer, however you get your input of news, do you see the signs of increase since this day? Don't say, well, it's been happening since then. Do we see the signs of increase in what we're going to read here? So the reason again, this know also that in the last days, that's the last days of the church, and I believe we're in that, perilous times shall come. Perilous times, not good times, not rose-petaled path times. Perilous times are going to come. And I feel we're seeing that open door already. For men will be, and you take this and apply it any way that your heart and mind want to go, but I can't get away from this. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Start thinking of that category. Start thinking of that category sometimes even within my own life. Sometimes it's dug first. I'll be totally honest with you. Don't want to do that, Lord, because I had this in mind. But men will be lovers of their own selves. But be of good cheer, because we're not of these people, remember? This is what's happening around us, showing us that Jesus Christ is coming back. These are the signs, the last days of the church. These perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Our abortion situation in this time that we live in is hitting a critical mass. And our government, who falls into this next section, you can have 70 instances of a pro-life place being attacked and burned and windows broken and nothing is done, but a Christian stands outside quietly praying over an abortion clinic and he's arrested. Without natural affection. Do you see the signs of increase that are happening around? Don't take my word. Look it up. Try to see if that fits. And that's just one. Natural affection. Parents not loving their children. These are my children. Could you ever imagine the Heavenly Father saying, I'm done with you. Get out of this house. We have a better example. And that natural affection is just the love that should be there. I see animals having more affection for their young, and that's coming from a guy who was stomped by a moose because I almost stepped on the calf, you know? More affection for their offspring than us human beings. Enough of that one, right? Okay. Truce breakers. I promise to love you forever. What's forever for if it's not forever? Covetous, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and that means no self-control. I couldn't help myself. I had to say that. I just had to say that. I couldn't. No, we can. Remember, I can do all things through Christ. That's a promise from our Lord. No self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. And we're in a time frame now where good is evil and evil is good, and it's only going to increase. Do we see the day approaching? Do we see the increase in just the little signs of the times that God gives us? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, and the power thereof is the Holy Spirit within us. From such, turn away. It doesn't mean not to reach. Just don't get hung up in all that stuff. So that's one of the reasons that God is saying to do those things in verse 25. That is the culmination of that day. And that day has two basic interpretations, and I'm not going to try to shorten this by rushing through it. But that day could either be some wonderful, fully saved Christians going to spend eternity, do not believe in a rapture of a church. I don't know why that is. What does the Word of God say? Not what I say, or not what some other pastor or church denomination might have said. What does God say? And he says that he's going to come back for his church. Or he's going to come in the parousia. Parousia, I think it's Greek. There's two parts of that. There's a rapture in that. There's a second coming in that, when every eye is going to see him. Which one is that going to be? But either one of those, whatever your bent might be, should be enough to get us to say, I need to start fellowshipping more. I need to encourage instead of discourage. I need to just stop the bad talk, the bad feelings, all the things that are going on. I need to stop that and just focus where God wants me. And I think that's the purpose of 25, is that together, when the more we meet, the more we grow in that likeness of Christ. The more that we encourage, man, it just, did you ever encourage somebody and it, you just really saw that their life kind of took a big turn? There's nothing better than that. Nothing better than that. But to really look forward to the day, I think we as Christians need to make our minds up in the coming days, weeks. The rapture, the second coming, either one, what am I going to do? How am I going to be obedient to what we just read, not what Doug is telling me to do, but what God just asked us to do, being such a wonderful, loving God, ready to receive us unto himself? What am I going to do in response to that? What am I going to... He doesn't ask for much. Like I said, remember, if we just go back there and take a second, and I'll end it with that, Hebrews. What do you want me to do, God? I want your heart to be in full assurance of the faith that you have. Don't let yourself or somebody else or the enemy of our souls start moving you and I off that path of security. He says, that's what I want. That's easy. Full assurance. Just keep on talking with him. Having my heart. Knowing I'm saved. Hold fast the profession of my faith. Don't give up. And don't forsake. Provoke. Much more as we see the day approaching. Father God, this is one of those areas in each and every one of our lives personally and corporately that we don't rush into and rush out of. This does not happen, what we're reading today and hopefully hearing. This doesn't happen just overnight. This takes effort. It takes patience. It takes endurance. And I'd ask you to give that to us, Father God, that we might truly be a lighthouse here, not only in Nederland, but to our families and to one another, that we would truly live within that fellowship that you desire here on earth, just the picture of the fellowship that we're going to have in eternity. So, Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for the promises that you have for us, that are yea and amen. And just strengthen us as we see this day approaching, Father. And just see what difference can I make. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's look into the second coming and the rapture next week, you think? What do we all know all about that? We got that down pat? But I'd like us to hear that I, as much as I've been reading and hoping and praying, I think he's coming back. I really think he's coming back. And I don't need too many more signs to let me know. Amen. Let's stand and worship our God.